Well, good afternoon. It's about 33 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock. You're listening to KFSK Petersburg. This is Hannah Flohr, and I am here for Campus Connection with Petersburg School Board, Petersburg School District Superintendent Erica Klutpainter.
Hello.
Hello, as well as School Board President Sarah Holmgren.
Hello.
I was combining you two. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So there are a lot of items on the agenda for tonight's school board meeting. Many of them deal in one way or another with the budget. So I wanted to start out talking about sort of an overview of what is going on with the budget. One of the final items on the agenda is that you, Erica, and Director of Finance Shannon Baird will be discussing a bunch of financial considerations, including legislative updates, funding sources, current budget concerns. Can you talk a little bit about why you'll be talking about this? And is this a thing that you do every year, or is this year distinct?
We do try to do this as we're entering budget season. And we've in the last couple of years, we've definitely been more intentional this time of year, just thinking about requests from the borough and having conversations about what's happening in the legislature. It's been so volatile the last, you know, five to seven years for sure, but even before that. And so I think it's the board needs to be involved in that conversation. That's their primary goal, really, is trying to figure out how to oversee that budget and make sure that we're being responsible and still providing, you know, the quality program that we want. This year's no exception with the volatility at the legislative level and at the governor's level. This is probably the earliest and most intense that education's been discussed in Juneau, from my recollection, as far as the legislature taking a really active stance, like from the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
and really trying to address the BSA increase issue and just trying to bring these issues to the forefront early, because there's been so much pressure the last few years to do that from constituents, from people in schools, from families, parents, everybody. Just really the inability to get these things across the plate in a reasonable amount of time has just, it's been crippling to districts. People can't make decisions, or they budget very conservatively, or they don't expand something that they might consider expanding, because we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Every year we don't know till really the end of June.
And how is the Petersburg School District dealing with that lack of knowledge about how much money they're going to be getting for the school year?
Well, and Sarah can jump in here as well. We are very conservative here. We always budget conservatively. We did that. For example, last spring, we did not know for sure what would be coming from the legislative level. We did not know for sure what would be coming at the local level, actually. So that was the largest increase we had requested from the borough last year, up to $3 million for their contribution. And so when we did our budgeting, we were close to knowing we would potentially have that $3 million contribution from the borough, because they had voted it through in the spring, but it wasn't absolutely finalized till the first week in June either.
Mm-hmm.
That's their process. And so we budgeted on a flat BSA increase. And so we as a district ended up not in as much trouble as some other districts, I think, who budgeted on, you know, maybe they budgeted on the 680,
mm-hmm.
you know, that the legislature agreed to. And then, you know, the governor's pen came out and he slashed it in half and there was no conversation. And then
a lot of districts were in big trouble.
Yep. And he has the right to do that. So we didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We did that intentionally. We are very conservative that way as a district. And that's why we have the fund balance we do, and why we're not in deficit trouble. And
And Sarah, you had told me that the school board is planning to ask the borough for $3,400,000, which is the maximum amount. There's a cap on how much a municipality is allowed to give a school district. So you're planning to ask for the maximum amount
yeah.
from the borough this year.
Between just increases overall in expenses, and then we have over $300,000 in payroll that is in grants that is all expiring and can't be renewed. So you've got to make up for that loss. And we are in negotiations this year, as you know, with we've already had that discussion about with teacher contracts. We don't know where that'll end up. And next year we have classified staff. Their contract's up for renewal as well. So just not knowing, we don't perceive being able to go backwards.
You can't give people pay cuts.
Right. Or go backwards and say, you know, so we're anticipating if they are able to give the full cap. And to be honest, when we go to the state and are lobbying for the state to give us more money, they immediately ask, well, is your borough funding you to the cap?
Mm.
And kind of dismiss you if they aren't. So it gives us less credibility when we go to ask for more money. They say, well, go ask your local
assembly
before you even come talk to it. Yeah.
Your municipality isn't even giving you as much as they could. Why are you coming to us?
That's yeah. And I would say it's not our representatives and our senator representatives that are saying it to us, but as a broader conversation with the legislature, because there are a lot of districts that do fund the cap.
Right.
There are a lot of assembly cities and boroughs that fund the cap. So that's where it would be. We would be getting to that point, but also trying to make up for some revenue that we just can't replace.
You were telling me last week when we talked about teacher negotiations mm-hmm. that a lot of the district has been funded by grants that mm-hmm. are no longer, that aren't renewable. Mm-hmm. So they were a great sort of band-aid for a time, but you can't have them next year. They're just not going to be available. Are there other grants that are going to be available, or is that just you guys got lucky for a few years with those grants? And
I think it's a combination of both, isn't it?
It's a combination of both. Some of the money that's sunsetting this year is obviously the ARPA funding, the COVID dollars that are sunsetting in September of 2024. And we've known that. We've stretched ours out further than most districts. The other thing that, and I do believe that the Department of Education was able to also put out more grant opportunities for districts because they also had ARPA funding. So that's why there were multiple opportunities over the last couple of years. We applied for every single one that came across our desk, and we received them all. They were very specific and targeted toward professional development. We were able to put some of that money towards supporting our teachers to become certified in what they needed for the READS Act and pay them for their time to do the requirements that they required but didn't pay for, at the legislative level. So those were things that we really tried to focus on. We did continue to fund one of our positions in the middle school that actually came in during RTI, during COVID. We used some of our RTI funds and some of our other funds to maintain that position. And we don't know what all of that will look like, you know, moving forward staffing-wise. There will probably be some shifts and some shuttling around, depending on what that looks like this spring. We did add the reading specialist in last year, and that was an absolute need. We probably could still use another one, to be honest, for all the requirements that we're still trying to meet. So those are priorities. Those are things that need to be met. Even a status quo budget is going to see reductions. We're already talking about those kind of reductions. That's even if we were to get full funding to the cap here locally. We can't count on what's going to happen at the state level. We mm-hmm. just can't. And the governor has been very clear about his priorities, and he says he's somebody that's in favor of funding public education and supporting public education, but that is not the message. And so that makes it pretty challenging, you know, to try to initiate and implement things that we need to do and know that it's not a supported venture.
Have you heard from teachers and staff members at the district who are concerned about possibly losing their jobs or concerned about the state of the school going forward?
I would say that fortunately, because we have been conservative over the years and we do strategically make reductions all the time, like every time there's a position, every time there's a sunset of a program or something like that, we always evaluate. So we've been very fortunate. In my time here, we've not had to do a full-on, like a reduction in force where people actually do lose a job. We are hopeful that that does not happen here. That's not our goal. You know, we have good people here and we want to keep them. But eventually, once you start going into making reductions of things like laptops, you know, or something like that, like the hard, you know, hard things like that. Once you sort of make those kind of reductions, or you reduce supplies and, you know, you reduce curriculum materials or things like that, those are sort of one-time things, and they're not, and they might be $30,000 worth, you know what I mean? So they're not nothing, but once you get through items like that, you start moving into areas of personnel, because that's the cost. That's the bulk of our budget is, mm-hmm. you know, is our people.
Right.
Which is, they're doing the work, so we should be paying them. But yeah.
I wanted to ask you, we had a story, I don't remember when it was, a week or two ago, about how Alaska got rated extremely highly for their charter schools, but were near the bottom for public schools. And Sarah, you had said something in passing about the charter schools versus public schools. Do you have a sense of why our charter schools are rated so high and why our public schools are so low?
Well, I'm trying to remember the program right after that came, Dunleavy announced that and the data came out. I want to think it was on, I mean, I was listening to KFSK. It's one of your morning shows that's once a week, and it analyzed that. And the data was from 2016 to 2019.
Pre-COVID.
So pre-COVID. And then what I understand from charter schools is that you're selected to go to the charter school. And if you have behavioral problems or you're not keeping up with your academics, you're sent back to the public school. So it's very selective on who gets to go to charter schools. And so then you're dealing with a certain population of students that predominantly do not struggle, do not have maybe the socio and economic struggles that other children will have that often affect their academics. Let's not pretend that they don't. They absolutely do. And so you are dealing with only a very specific population to pull that data from. It would be interesting to see what that data is post COVID, mm-hmm. because clearly on a local level, we have seen the effects and, you know, there's one article after another about the effects it had on academics nationwide. But I think it was pretty fun for him to, you know, tout about it. And it's like, that's great if they were doing well in 2016 to 2019, but that was also the last time we got a surge in money. Was okay. 2017, right in the middle of all that.
Yeah.
So they would have gotten it too. So now we're into how many years later where, you know, we all can recognize inflation and how that's affected things, that it would be pretty interesting to see what that data says now. But again, it's still a select student that can go to a charter school versus public education serves every single student that walks in that door, regardless of their academic level, their mental health level, their socioeconomic level.
Mm-hmm. I've heard from a lot of people, especially after the teacher negotiation story last week, that are pretty frustrated with the funding. And I was wondering, I know, Erica, you and Heather Kahn have gone to legislative fly-ins. Is there a way that people here in Petersburg can voice their frustration, you know, call their legislators? Who do they direct that to?
We do have, anytime, actually our legislative information office here locally, mm-hmm. Matt Lichtenstein, does a great job. If you're not on his newsletter, I would encourage you to get on his newsletter. It's very easy. You can also look on, there's multiple sites. We have actually been discussing recently that we would like to put out some specific links. Parents have talked to us about it and have said, you know, could you help us sort of craft, you know, maybe emails or letters or how do we do this? How do you testify? You know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So we have talked about maybe opening up, you know, maybe we get together on a Wednesday night, you know, in the library and everybody brings pizza or whatever. And people, if they want to come, I mean, you know,
of course,
I mean, that it would be an option, of course. But I would say that after the fly-in, what I found encouraging is that overwhelmingly, the majority of legislators on both sides of the aisle are actually quite frustrated that they can't make more progress on this. They feel that there is sort of this adversarial thing going on right now with the governor and kind of coming to some sort of common ground. And really, the legislature last year, I mean, that was a pretty monumental task that they came together and came up with an actual, you know, significant proposed BSA increase, 680, and they did it, and it was hard fought.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was just slashed. And so I think it's a bit challenging because a lot of the legislators are hearing people's concerns. They are hearing what parents are saying. You know, they don't want to see these valuable programs be cut. They don't want to lose opportunities for their kids. And like I said, once you kind of go through some of those initial sort of easy, quote unquote, reductions, you're into starting to lose options for kids. It's just the way it is. And that's frustrating. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was a big takeaway that Heather and I both had up there was we actually felt a significant amount of concern and support from legislators, but they're feeling frustrated, mm-hmm. I think, about kind of the relationship right now with the governor and what he's laid out, you know, sort of holding them hostage a bit, you know, this whole thing right now with Senate Bill 140 and what started as something that was intended to increase well-deserved and much-needed internet connectivity for our rural communities. It started with that, and then it got Christmas treed, you know, with all these other things about charter schools and correspondence schools and just a big kind of hodgepodge of things. Some of the things in there are great. I mean, there's information, there's a request for increase to pupil transportation, which we already have to offset in our general fund. So yes, that would be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But a very minimal BSA increase, $300. That's the increase.
Yes, yeah, which is less which is than the less. BSA last year, even yeah. after Dunleavy slashed it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to pivot. First, I want to remind people that this is a call-in show. So if you have questions about funding, budgets, anything else related to the school district, you can call in at 907-772-3808 and we'll get you on the air. Another item on the agenda is has to do with the school roof. And you are, I'm trying to find my notes so I can get this wording exactly right. There's a resolution to support a borough bond. So I know that you're on the list for state maintenance grants. You're number 12, which mm-hmm. is very high up, right?
Yes.
In case that doesn't come through, you're also looking to bond with the borough to get that money to replace the roof. Can you talk a little bit about why the roof needs repair in the first place?
Well, we have lots of details in the resolution in there. Resolutions are funny to me the way they're written, but
the way anyway, lots whereas, of whereas,
you know, whereas the roof
the
is a patchwork.
Lawyer wrote it some long time ago.
It makes me laugh, but it's very drawn out. But anyway, essentially, it's A, it's time. B, it's a patchwork that was created from a building that was from the 50s to the 70s to the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and all the pieces in between. And it was the roof itself was put on to the best of its ability and its time and all those things. But it's been on the school district's list for at least 4 years on the CIP list, moved to the top
mm-hmm.
Recently. And then, of course, the 2021 winter, as many buildings in town experienced, did a lot of damage. So, you know, we did do the repairs that we needed to do with the insurance settlement from that. But it is time to replace. So the process for that is basically what you just described. We need to get on the state's list and hope for some reimbursement, which would be potentially 65% reimbursement of the cost. In the meantime, they do often fund. We've had really good luck with that in our district. We've had many projects over the years that we fund in partnership with the borough. They own the buildings. We partner with them. And then we go back for reimbursement, and then we have the exact amount, you know, mm-hmm. and we follow all the rules and dot yeah. all the I's and cross all the T's. And then we've had really good luck getting those reimbursements. And then that money goes right back to the borough. They maintain that for things like this. So like when we
yeah.
want to go out to bid for this project, hopefully in the fall, kind of regardless of what happens, they do have funds that have kind of been returned over the years from these mm-hmm. type of capital projects. So it's a $4.5 million project. I don't know what the borough will decide to do. This resolution is for the board to say, yes, these are the things we support moving forward to the borough. The hope is we'll know on July 1st if our project gets funded
by the state.
Mm-hmm. And if we know that, that really is a huge help, you know, to the borough's bottom line, mm-hmm. because potentially they'll get that, you know, up to $3 million reimbursed, mm-hmm. which is huge. And then that allows, if they determine going forward with a certain amount to bond regardless, that may also then help us fund campus security upgrades, that sort of thing. So that's kind of the way it works. It's like they'll, you know, you go out for a bond potentially to the community and they make a decision. And if they vote it through, then, you know, you may be able to get the roof. And if the roof gets refunded $3 million, then you can go kind of down the list.
And the next thing on the list is improving campus security.
Yep. It's the
what would that look like? What I remember Brad King was talking about, mm-hmm. certain things like maybe frosting the windows on the first floor and maybe changing the configuration of the middle high school entryway. Mm-hmm. Are there other things on that list that I'm forgetting?
Those are all included. Mm-hmm. Actually, we have done some of the frosting of the windows on the first floor already. In the district, and but yes, it would be a remodel of the entrance at the main secondary building.
Buildings. And that's mostly because the people who are sitting in the office at the main secondary building can't actually see the doors.
Yeah.
So they need a camera right now.
Yep.
And it would be great if they could see those doors.
Exactly. There's just a visibility factor that, you know, the doors are locked right now. We do have cameras. People have to knock or buzz and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
They can come in, but... buildings just weren't designed with these kind of things in mind. And unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. And mm-hmm. we need to be able to be really mindful of who's coming into our building and really intentional about them checking in and, you know, not being missed somehow coming through and, you know, wandering around or whatever. So that's part of it. Door locks need to be redone. There's a whole system for that. That's part of a proposal that we have as well. There's electrified systems that work for that, and you can keep track of people when they're in and out. Not that we're thinking anything's happening with our staff, but also if there were a question or something came up or whatever, you have a record, basically, of just kind of what the traffic looks like and who's in and out, and they're just more secure. They can be managed better mm-hmm. from one site. You can lock things down easily. So that's on there.
So this bond then will go to the voters during the municipal election this fall?
That's if the borough...
If the borough
Okays it. They have to make this decision. Like, this is just sort of the very first step is we, the board, would determine...
We mm-hmm. would say, please consider this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so then they have to still approve it.
Exactly. Okay. Then they would have to craft, like, what are their priorities? Are these the priorities? Do they have other priorities in the borough that they might want to try to put on there too? I don't know. You know what I mean? That's what's coming off this year is the pool and the vocational education building. Those were both bonded in 2004, I think. So they come off. This is this is the 20th year. I think it was 2024. 2004.
Yeah.
Those questions will be for the borough to determine the assembly. And we just wanted to get that conversation started and meet with Steve and Jody about that and then move it to that next level of having the conversation with the borough so they can make those decisions.
And then you have a work session scheduled with the borough for the 29th of February, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Leap Day. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that you're going to be talking about that bonding issue. You're also going to be talking about the money that you'll be asking the borough mm-hmm. for funding. Is this a meeting that you have every year with the borough?
No, I've never had since I've been on the board, we haven't had a work session with them.
Yeah.
I think because for so long it was the same amount of money. And when I got on the board, the bond was already mm-hmm. done and over with for the two buildings that directly affect the school as well as the community. So it's mm-hmm. just been kind of status quo.
Status quo.
And so this year is not status quo.
No.
No, we...
It's a few things.
Yeah, last year, Karen Morrison and I and Sarah actually, we did attend all three of the... one or both or all three of us attended mm-hmm. all of the assembly meetings where they were voting on the budget. And we each did provide... Karen and I actually did do a presentation prior to, I think, the first vote that they took. We went down and did a presentation. They requested... that we basically talk through, you know, why $3 million, what's the story? How did we get here? You know, kind of a thing. And we've stretched this thing out as long as we can. And COVID, good, bad, or otherwise, that we stretch that funding as well. I mean, we've maximized every dollar that could possibly come to us. And so I feel like, and I think we made this statement last year, but I would say that we've had a pretty good deal here for a long time. And we've, mm-hmm. it's not a mismanagement thing. It's not any of those things. We have a good fund balance right now. We are not in deficit trouble. We are not overspending. We are where we are. So, mm-hmm. You know, in order to continue to make, you know, reasonable reductions like we've done strategically without, you know, sort of dismantling entire programs, that's continues to be our goal always. So yeah. We think our kids deserve that. And I think people do support that. I mean, I think when you talk through what's happening and where's it going and, you know, there's kind of a lot of rhetoric about out and about things like overbloated, you know, administration costs in districts and that kind of thing. And I would strongly say that administrative duties and the hats that people are wearing in this district to make things happen so that the most dollars can go directly to classroom teachers, that's what we've done. We don't have HR departments. We don't have all those specific things. We all wear the hats. So I know we've talked about that before, but I think it's just important to note that eventually you reach kind of a breaking point mm-hmm. in that sense. So there's not a lot of other places to go.
Essentially run out of money.
Yeah.
Is where we're at.
All right. And that is, again, that is a work session. Mm-hmm. So no decisions will be made. And I'm sure that we'll be hearing more about it at future school board and borough assembly meetings.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything else you want to add?
Oh, well, February is School Board Appreciation Month. I would say that publicly.
Happy School Board Appreciation Month.
Yep. Yay. Recognize Yay. The efforts of all these people that are volunteering their time and volunteering a lot of time. So mm-hmm. I do want to recognize all of our board members and, of course, our fearless leader over here, Sarah, and all of her years of experience and time and expertise. So
she's getting tired, though.
Sarah just made quite a face.
Well, we appreciate you.
All right. Well, I appreciate you both coming in.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us. Mm-hmm.